relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
This is America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, and I'm very excited to introduce our guest host for today, Trish Regan.
Oh, and I'm very excited to be here. Thank you, Seb. I love talking to your listeners. And while we actually have a little bit of good news, I am Trish Regan, everyone, in for Seb Gorka. And what do you know? Big day. The Pennsylvania judge is halting the election certification amid this whole mail-in ballot fight. Rudy Giuliani, Jenna Ellis, the legal team for Donald Trump, the president of the United States, they are there in Pennsylvania today. Hearings are going on as we speak. The lawsuit that they filed is alleging that Pennsylvania's mail-in voting law violated the state's constitution. And you know what? The judge is saying, okay, we got to order for an injunction to block any possible further certification of election results in the state pending another hearing. They're going to take a day off here for Thanksgiving to be held on Friday. So a little bit of good news here. And I know Seb has been talking to you guys about this and we're thinking about the what ifs, and there's plenty of pessimism out there and a lot of people have just given up. A lot of conservatives have just given up. But I'll tell you who hasn't given up. Donald Trump hasn't given up. His team, they have not given up. And you know who else? You know who else has not given up? The American voters that voted for Donald Trump. 1-833-33-GORKA. I love hearing from you. This is Trish Regan in for my friend Seb. And you know, this is pretty amazing. So let's go through the scenario if we could for a moment. Pennsylvania represents 20 electoral votes. Okay, so big deal. If he could get Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin reversed. And by the way, let me just add that I realize, you know, it's challenging in Michigan and you got a little bit of a setback, but they're going to take that to the appeals court. Listen to this. If the judge says, wait a second, this was a violation of the state constitution, the way you guys tried to pull things and play things in the 11th hour, then that's 20 electoral votes that gets into his column, the president's column. And it causes everybody to scratch their heads and say, wait a second. You know what? If this is going on in Pennsylvania, what the heck was going on in Michigan? What the heck was going on in Wisconsin? And so in that what if scenario, and I'm just playing it out because they don't want us to talk about this, right? The left is, hey, they've totally shut it down. You're not even allowed to talk about these things, which is insane. So indulge me, everyone, if you would, for just a moment. Let's talk about the math. Pennsylvania is 20. You've got Wisconsin. You've got Michigan. That would get you to 46. You know what happens then? If that were to occur, it would go, the election itself would go to the House of Representatives. You know, that has not happened in almost 200 years, 196 years, in fact, because it took place in 1824, John Quincy Adams versus Andrew Jackson. You know, I was an American history major, so I love this stuff. I love this stuff. And I know, because I know Seb well, and he's a good friend, I know he loves this stuff. I know all the team members he works with eat this stuff up. So we can't help ourselves. You know, the left, they're telling us, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. You know, this is just conspiracy theory stuff. But I'm sorry, we are now in a situation where a Pennsylvania state court has issued an injunction blocking any potential further certification of the election results because they have to have another hearing on Friday. And one thing is clear, well, at least to the Trump legal team, the mail-in voting law seems to have violated the state's constitution. So if Pennsylvania reverses, that really does open the spigot, so to speak. You know, there's a fascinating poll that came out from CNBC. And what it showed was most Republicans that voted for Donald Trump, they believe something odd happened. They believe that somehow this was rigged, this was manipulated, and it was a vast majority that think this. And when you have so many people doubting the system, you got a problem. You really do. Again, let's go back to 1824, John Quincy Adams versus Andrew Jackson. What happened? It went to the House of Representatives. Now, you're going to say, oh, well, forget about it. Goes to the House of Representatives. Oh, dear. You know, you got more Democrats than Republicans in there. But you see, that's not exactly how it works. Because each state has a delegation. They each get a vote. And so the delegates all come together. And so if you have more Republicans then you do Democrats in a given state for the delegates, then guess what? You're going to get one vote. So they are going to elect somebody to represent them as their delegate that represents their political viewpoint. So you know California is going Dem and, well, Texas is going Republican. But what's fascinating about this is that when you tally up all the states, well, guess what? You have more states with a conservative electoral view than a liberal one, than a Democrat one. So what would that mean? That would mean the president of the United States for the next 4 years would be, once again, Donald J. Trump. So we shall see how this all unfolds. Just for fun, indulge me some more. Again, this is against the rules. You know, I'm a rule breaker. I'm such a rule breaker that, in fact, tomorrow at Thanksgiving, I'm having more people over than I should. Like 15. Don't tell anyone. If I lived in Oregon, Governor Brown would say my neighbors could call the cops on me. They could call 911 because I have too many people. Anyway, the next thing that would happen that we're not supposed to talk about is that the vice president or the vice presidential pick would come from the Senate. And there's a good chance there because the way the state representatives work out, it's a little different. And it's funny, right? Because, you know, it would be more tight. You'd think at least, you know, Republicans would have a fighting chance there. No, it would actually most likely be a Democrat pick. So who would they pick? I wonder. Can you imagine? I mean, what if you had Joe Biden in that position, or better yet, Kamala Harris? That would go over real well. I mean, we want to talk divided government. I know Wall Street likes a divided government. I don't know if we want it that divided. But, you know, this is fascinating to me. And I love the historical analysis where we can really drill down on this, going all the way back to 1824. In other words, there is precedent. But we got to see what happens first in Pennsylvania. And they got the hearings going on right now. I'm going to play a little bit for you coming up in the next block. So don't go anywhere. Pennsylvania, 20 electoral votes is what it represents. And if Pennsylvania goes, you want to talk about the doubt that's already there among so many conservatives right now. They don't trust this as it is. If Pennsylvania is proven to have had some shenanigans and, you know, it doesn't sound good, judging from what we know thus far, well, then that could mean Wisconsin, it could mean Michigan, and then it could mean the presidency. So happy Thanksgiving. How do you like that? Oh, we'll see. Again, big caveat, we'll see. But keep the faith and at least understand it. You know, for them to try and say this is wild to even talk about it, no, guys. No. You know what? Because it's not far-fetched to want to be a well-informed citizen. It is not far-fetched to try and understand our Constitution, to understand historical precedents, and to understand what happened between John Quincy Adams and Andrew Jackson. I am Trish Regan. Please check out my YouTube channel. I think we've got it on the bottom of the screen if you're watching Seb's YouTube channel. And I'm going to be right back with a whole lot more, including some excerpts from the legal testimony today. Don't go anywhere.
Sebastian Gorka, this is America First. Let's get back to the show with Trish Regan.
Welcome back, everyone. I am Trish Regan. I am in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka on this wonderful day before Thanksgiving. I want to go up to Canada for a moment just to talk to my favorite Canadian and get his perspective on the insanity that is the United States of America right now as we look at lockdown after lockdown after lockdown order. In fact, Governor Kate Brown out in Oregon is actually suggesting that neighbors call the police on their neighbors if they see too many cars parked outside. All these shutdown orders, they're going to take their economic toll. They're taking their emotional toll. And frankly, they're taking their toll when it comes to our personal liberties. Joining me right now, the wonderful Lord Conrad Black. Lord Black, good to have you back.
Well, thank you for asking me on, Trish.
Well, I know you get a lot of opinions on this, but as we get ready to celebrate Thanksgiving here in the United States, for those of us that can, or for those of us that are willing to break the rules, you know, I live life on the edge. I've got 15 people coming over. What do you think of all these lockdowns?
Careful, you'll have four carloads of police joining them.
I know.
With a paddy wagon.
Careful.
Well, you know, we have similar things in Canada, and I think it's nonsense. I think that the level of hysteria that's been generated about this virus was a direct consequence of your election. As soon as the virus came down, the leaders of the Democratic Party saw the possibility of demanding in the name of science a lockdown that would produce a depression, that would enable them to hang this around Trump's neck and make him the Herbert Hoover of this century, and a depression, an economic depression. And that's pretty much what they did. Now, he eluded them to a degree by making it a relatively short shutdown, and the economy has been coming back well. But now with the election, I don't think there's any more will to resist, and you're left as a country wallowing in this state of panic. But I think it's nonsense. I mean, the fact is 99% of people recover. And even the maximum danger zone, the elderly people and ones with other problems, health problems that compromise their immunity, the survival level is 95%. So you take the vulnerable ones and you take, you know, fairly radical and even perhaps slightly authoritative measures to protect them and insulate them. Especially the ones who don't live autonomously, who live in homes for the elderly and so on. And the rest, you ask them to assume some precautions and leave it at that. But this business that you can't have too many people to your house for Thanksgiving, or you can't fill up a church with, or at least substantially fill it up with a congregation, I mean, this is just nonsense.
And by the way, I have nothing against people taking proper precautions. I certainly do myself. In fact, everybody that's coming over, most of those 15 people are children, by the way. But when it comes to their parents, they're all, you know, pretty, you know, healthy young parents. My own parents, who are in their 80s, are choosing not to see us this Thanksgiving. And I understand and empathize with all of it, because you know what? Lord Black, they have health issues, and they can't, you know, they don't want to risk being around little children who have been in school. Okay, fine. But you know what? That's their decision. It's my decision. I don't need my governor telling me that.
No, and this idea that you're going to have the police advised if there are too many cars in your driveway and so on, that's not what the police are for. It would embarrass the police to do it. It's an outrageous imposition on them, and it is preposterous. It is, that's what it is. It is preposterous.
Does it kind of turn neighbor against neighbor,
too? To try and use the police to reduce the number of people at a perfectly civil social occasion that's not disturbing anybody.
Yeah, I feel like it turns people against one another in a really negative and once again politicized
it makes
way.
Government look ridiculous as well as oppressive.
Yeah.
Summer with these riots all around the country the Democratic Party wouldn't even mention at the convention, and Democratic mayors like that beastly woman in Seattle and an imbecile in Portland, Oregon, and de Blasio and that horrifying woman Lightfoot in Chicago just treated the whole thing as if it was an innocent squabble and plus a lot of peaceful protesting. Peaceful protesting that the $2 billion of damage killed 50 people and wounded 700 policemen. And here they are trying to set the police on the back of people who have quiet parties for their family on Thanksgiving Day. I mean, the whole thing is insane.
It is. And I'm trying to understand why they would do this now. What is this about at this point in time when they think they've won the election? I mentioned what's going on in Pennsylvania. Now the judge is putting a halt on things until Friday. We get some hearings that are happening as we speak, Lord Black. But what would be the motivation to do this now?
I can't mind read the people involved. And you know, we're talking about a lot of different people in different places. But in general, I think it is a function of what I said earlier. It's a continuation of a state of hysteria that was artificially whipped up by the national political media that essentially made the campaign for the Democrats. Biden didn't campaign. He barely left his home. So the campaign for the Democrats was made by the media. And part of it was Trump's America is a place of chaos, and it's unhealthy and dangerous to your health, and he's to blame for it. Never mind that producing a vaccine as quickly as is being done is one of the miracles of efficient government that has occurred since the Second World War. You know, since producing 125,000 warplanes a year.
Yeah, and keep in mind, right, the reason we were able to do that was in part thanks to capitalism, freedom, and a president who was willing to get rid of all the red tape and bureaucracy and the messed up stuff that would get in the way of getting a vaccine into the hands of the people as soon as safely and humanly possible.
Exactly. Getting government, science, the medical profession, and business all working together to a public goal. It was a first-class bit of organization and administration.
My friend Heather McDonald wrote a really interesting
piece. A saintly woman.
Yes. It's wonderful, brilliant. And she made the point, as we go into Thanksgiving, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, that, you know, you had 102 occupants of the Mayflower that died in their first year of settlement at Plymouth, sometimes at the rate of 3 a day. The mortality rate was just off the charts. But do you think that that stopped them from trying to accomplish their goals? She points out our mortality rate because of coronavirus is 0.01%. Don't go anywhere. Lord Black, stay with me. We got more to talk about, including the historical analysis.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is marking its season of hope, and they need your help. The foundation is honoring America's heroes by donating 36 homes in 36 days. That's one home a day from Thanksgiving through New Year's Eve. Tunnel to Towers is gifting homes in more than 24 states across our nation. They're bringing hope to great Americans, our catastrophically injured veterans, Gold Star, and fallen first responder families. The foundation is giving thanks to all of those who have sacrificed so much for us and to the many people like you across this country who have supported their efforts to honor our nation's heroes. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Donate $11 a month by going to t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. T2t.org. Help bring hope to America's heroes and their families. Thank you.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
Welcome back, everyone. I am Trish Regan. I'm in for my friend, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, today, the day ahead of Thanksgiving, when we're to give thanks for all these wonderful freedoms that we have, thanks to the tremendous people that came hundreds of years ago, courageous people, to America to settle this great country. You think about where we are today, right, with all these lockdowns and all these children being put out of school. Do you know there was a piece just the other day in the American Medical Journal that said these school closures, they will cost more in years lost off life than COVID-19 could have ever caused had the schools been left open. 5.5 million years. Think about that. That's how dangerous and how bad it is to not have kids in school. And I find it pretty amazing, considering you got restaurants open, you got bars open. Well, mostly open. But no, the schools are all closing. Now, why would that be? Can anybody say teachers union? And I do believe that Joe Biden's looking at putting the former head of the teachers union right there in Betsy DeVos's spot as Secretary of Education. Still on the phone with us, we have Lord Conrad Black. Welcome back, Lord Black. What's going on with these teachers' union and our poor kids?
Well, I have to say, Trish, that I have been raving until I'm blue in the face for years about what the teachers' unions have done to all of our Western countries, not just the United States. It's similar things have happened in Canada and in the major Western European countries, where the great irony in public policy matters of our time is that all of us, all these advanced, prosperous, democratic countries spend more and more and more on education every year, and we get less and less well-informed and educated graduates. And we're all being strangled by the teachers' unions and their kindred spirits at the post-secondary level and university level people. I mean, they are underworked and they are largely subversive in the content that they convey, and they are literally producing less educated people. And yet, as a society, as a civilization, we're spending more and more on them. Now, it has reached an apogee that is of nightmarish proportions in this coronavirus crisis, where in the United States, at least, they are insisting, ostensibly for reasons of their own health, that the schools stay closed. And it's nonsense, as you said earlier. The public schools, the Catholic school board schools, the charter schools, they generally stay open. They don't have heavy infection rates. The teachers are all, or practically all, well within that area where the dangerous aspects of the coronavirus are practically non-existent, and life goes on. These children and young people are associating with their friends, and they're learning every day. But what the teachers' unions have done to state education systems everywhere in the Western world is an outrage. But what they're doing now, just giving themselves an extended paid vacation because of a minimal risk to themselves in health terms, is a scandal.
Yeah, and you think about everybody else out there in the world that has to go to work every day. You know, most people, if you're lucky enough, by the way, you have the luxury of working from home. But most people, you know, especially in that sort of that, I mean, you go to work, right? And you take your chances and you hope for the best.
We have to remember the basic arithmetic. Unless you have another medical problem, if you're under the age of 65, your chances of survival, even if you get this thing, are 99.997. And even if you have a problem or are over 65, your chances of survival are 94.5%. You can't shut everything down for that number of people. You protect the vulnerable.
I think it's important what you're saying, the Lord Black, just to keep, you know, pounding on those statistics, because there really is hysteria. There's absolute fear. I mean, you can feel it in the air right now. I mean, I sense it right now everywhere I go. And I'm like, what is this? It may be just every single time I open my phone, I'm being bombarded with sob story after sob story after sob story. I mean, heart-wrenching, awful stuff. And I get it. If you're in that 0.001% that has died or has a loved one that has died, this is awful, right? But it's helpful for me to remember, okay, you're a healthy, I guess I have to say middle-aged now, woman who can handle it. So, you know, the math is important. I appreciate you reminding us of those statistics, sir. My thanks to Conrad Black, Lord Black. Okay, we're going to be right back with a whole lot more.
This is America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, and I'm very excited to introduce our guest host for today, Trish Regan.
Oh, thank you so much, Seb. It's so great to be with all of you. You know, this is my favorite time of year. It really is. I love Thanksgiving. Well, I really love Christmas. But I love this whole lead up to Christmas. It really feels like it officially kicks off tomorrow. We're going to have a big Thanksgiving dinner, and then we go out as a family, and we go to this tree farm. And we cut down our tree on Friday morning, which is just so great. And we bring it home and we start getting the decorations going and then the Christmas music playing. And I get my scented balsam candles out and, you know, the fireplace and all that. And it's really just, it's a time to really enjoy, I think, and remember what we should be grateful for, right, in life. And it's a whole holiday season. My children are excited. They're getting ready to open the Advent calendar. They get little chocolates there every single morning in December. And, you know, I think about all these things and I love it for them. You know, holidays are so important for kids, for families. These are memories that you are creating with your children that they will never, ever forget. And I just love as a mom, you know, on Christmas morning, when you see all the excitement in their little faces, right? Because they get all those gifts from Santa and they're so excited. And mommy, mommy, daddy, and they're showing us their gifts and the enthusiasm and the like just pure joy is so great. And, you know, I think about kids don't have what my kids have or what your kids may have. And, you know, life is tough. And it's hard times out there. And you think about what happens to some of these kids who don't have what ours do, especially if they're so unfortunate as to have a parent that's in prison. I mean, that can be really, really challenging, right? And that's where Prison Fellowship's Angel Tree program steps in. You've probably heard Seb talk about this. It's a wonderful program that can really make a difference in a kid's life. And your donations make that difference because you're the one that's making it possible for one of these little children who's unfortunate enough to have a parent who's incarcerated. But you know what? That child, they don't understand that. They just like knowing that their parent cares about them. Having a parent that cares about you, that it's what can be the difference maker in a person's life. And so Angel Tree enables those kids to get a gift from their parent, a personalized note from mom or dad, and access to a Bible in English or in Spanish. You know, last year, the Angel Tree program blessed over 300 children of prisoners all over America. Here are two of them. I want you to hear these kids, Alana and Quentin, and they're telling us what they loved most about being part of an Angel Tree Christmas.
Spending time with my family and knowing that my dad cares. He's sending me all these gifts thanks to you. And I really like to thank you for it.
I like the presents that my dad sent me. I know that you guys care and he cares. So I just want to thank you for that. And I love Christmas. Thank you, Angel Tree, for doing all that you do. Because you don't have to do this, but you choose to do it. And I really appreciate it.
Yeah, they do. And I do. And Seb does, and everyone here at Salem does, on behalf of those kids. So now it's your turn, really, to share the love of Christ and to share the spirit of Christmas. You can make a donation to Seb Gorka's Angel Tree campaign. I want to add one other thing. You know, I'm actually working from home, believe it or not. I'll let that cat out of the bag because I'm not in the studio right now. The studio is in Washington, D.C. I'm up in the Northeast. And right as we went to break, my little son came in and he just wanted to say hi and he waved his hand. And, you know, I was thinking about how important it is for kids like him to see this, right? And to know that we as adults care about other kids. I was telling him all about this program and how, you know, and it took him a while because he was like, wait, so their parents are in prison and he was kind of, you know, it shook him a little bit, you know, as it should. But this is part also of teaching all of our children empathy for other people, right? And so my mother did this with me when I was a kid. I remember every single Christmas going shopping, usually for a little girl whose mother was in prison. And it really, you know, it resonated with me. It had a big impact on me. Because it forced me as a child to think about how other people are living. And, you know, isn't that part of what Christmas really is all about? About thinking about others and putting ourselves in other people's shoes. So I really would like it if you could just go to SebGorka.com right now, click on the Angel Tree banner, or phone your donation by calling our special number. It's 1-888-206-206. 888-206-2794. Again, that's 888-206-2794. Because you really can make a difference in a young person's life. And you could make a difference in your own child's life. These are things that they will always remember. These are the things that have impact. Giving back in society, especially right now in these holiday months, is so important. So do what you can, 888-206-2794. And on behalf of Seb and myself, we thank you. Okay, we got a lot more coming up in the show. The legal team is in Pennsylvania right now. And the good news is the judge is putting a halt on any certification and saying, no, 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 you guys are going to have to wait until Friday. So a little bit of a reprieve. We've got some excerpts that I want to play for you from those legal proceedings that are going on right now as we speak. A little bit of a win here, and we can talk about what it would mean in this whole process to see whether or not Donald Trump can stay on as president of the United States of America. So do not go anywhere. This is Trish Regan here with you today for my good friend Seb. I'm really enjoying it. Please call in. I love to hear from you. You can call 1-833-33-GORKA. And indeed, I'm told the phone lines are lit up. So we're going to get to all of you. Don't go anywhere right after this.
Portions of today's program are brought to you by Prison Fellowship.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Trish Regan in for Seb Gorka, and there's a lot going on in Pennsylvania right now. The hearings are underway. I want you to hear the president's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. He's making some rather interesting, shall we say, points.
And when you look at this entire curve with all these spikes, can you calculate how much of a vote that accounted for Biden and how much for Trump?
Close to 600,000. I think our figures were about 570,000-some-odd that all those spikes represent over time.
For Biden?
Correct.
And how much for Trump?
I think it was a little over 3,200.
How about that? Now, just to go back to your original...
That seems like a rather large discrepancy to me. Does it not to you? I want to go to the call lines because we have JR from Columbus, Ohio, making a pretty good point here. JR, it sounds a little suspicious to me. I imagine to you as well.
Yeah, I have to stop biting my lip because I'm not going to have much of a lip left after this last month. But so here in Ohio, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, and I've been I grew up in Peachtree City, just south of Atlanta. And long story short, I basically think that we are reaching out to everyone we know in Georgia, all my friends here, because we won Ohio already. And basically, I think a sleeping giant has been awoken. And people that I've never seen get political are now political in the direction towards Trump. Mm-hmm. And, you know, however this shakes out, we're not abandoning him. That is not happening, period.
Oh, I know. I mean, he could go off and create a whole... I think, frankly, the MAGA movement and what he has inspired has been more powerful than the Republican Party.
Agreed. And I also think that Trump has given the Republican Party some gusto and some strength to stop being the party that goes, well, we'll just be happy being second place. I really do.
Yeah. It's a wake-up call for the party. It's a wake-up call for every conservative American and, frankly, every American in the middle that the left is trying to push further and further away. I mean, that's why those polls were so darn wrong, right? Nobody was willing to admit, I'm going to vote for Trump. They were too fearful. What is that doing to our society? Listen, we got a great show coming up. Victor, I'm going to get to you momentarily. Victor has a few thoughts on this lockdown. We're going to get into all of it. Trish Regan, make sure you go to my YouTube page and you subscribe. I'll be right back.